Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, September 25th. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 56 of We Agnostics, the fourth paragraph down. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, and it ends with he lived in conscious companionship with his Creator. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Ann K., 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., and the readers of the text are Penny L. C., Robin D. Z., and Leslie M. And the share ID for Tuesday, September 24th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,436. That's 13436. And for the Wednesday, September 25th, 7 a.m. meeting, this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, is 13,438. That's 13438. And our newcomer greeter is Nan K. And our announcements coordinator at the end is Leslie W. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Ann K. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Ann K., grateful recovering eater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Ann K. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lorraine. Press star one, Lorraine. Can't hear you.
Hi, sorry. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone again, and that's star 1, not the mute button on the phone. And we also ask that you don't use speaker phones also, because it kind of messes up with the recording. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 56 in We Agnostics, the fourth paragraph down. It starts with, this man recounts that he tumbled, and it ends with, he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees. In a few seconds, he was overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built through the years were swept away. He stood in the presence of infinite power and love. He had stepped from bridge to shore. For the first time, he lived in conscious companionship with his Creator. And I'd like to begin with this. In the center of the paragraph, it talks about the barriers he had built through the years. What were my barriers? My selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, self-pitying, self-reliance, along with my dishonesty and my fear, all of my character defects were creating barriers. But also, the bigger of those was the dishonesty, the closed-mindedness, and the unwillingness to believe, to surrender. And that's what happened here. He got to his knees. Whether I do it literally or figuratively, the surrender is there. It's surrender of my spirit, my will. And that's what the gift that he gave himself was, to surrender. and admit that he can't do it by himself, that there must be a God that can help. And then comes that conviction that, okay, there is a God. God can. I can't. So all I'm choosing to do is just believe. Just believe. And then that certain amazing happening. He knew he was connected to God. He felt the presence. He'd stepped from that place of being either resistant about the concept of God or ambivalent about it. On that tenuous bridge, I picture one of those, you know, really wobbly string bridges across a, you know, ravine, and I'm just barely hanging on, and the thing is the rope bridge is just, you know, teetering. And I have a choice. And if I just step onto the solid crossing and choose to go over the bridge, there's the solid ground of my Creator and a way of life beyond no other that I've ever known before. Just begins with that surrender, that admission, and then that belief. And he has found that possibility for himself, just like I did, just like we have, just like you can. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much for getting us started, Penny LC. And I will now open the lines up for those who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Laura W.
Irene B.
Irene B.
Ginger C. Beatrice O.
Beatrice, yeah.
Cindy D.
One more. Anybody else would like to share? All right.
Janice P.M.
I got you, Janice. Okay, we'll stop there. All right, let me tell you who I have. I have Laura W., Irene B., Ginger C., Beatrice O., Cindy D., and Janice P.M. Laura W., followed by Irene B. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. So grateful to be able to be on the line live today. And this paragraph is really powerful to me because the sentence right before it started says, he's asking himself, who are you to say there is no God? It's so beautiful to watch someone's transformation and to watch someone, you know, really take step two. And in a few seconds, it doesn't take long, he was overwhelmed by the conviction of the presence of God. It poured through him with the certainty, which means that there's no doubt, you know. There's no doubt that God is there. The barriers that he had built, you know, it says he had built. It doesn't say, you know, life had built, alcohol had built. I created my own misery. I was the builder of my own misery. And through the step process, they are, you know, those miserable moments and that those barriers to my higher power are and were swept away. The words that they use are so powerful, infinite power and love, like infinite, never ending, you know, all powerful. And I really feel that, you know, my anorexia and my food addiction is a symbol of my separation from God. So if I'm in those thought patterns, if I'm in those behaviors, I'm separated from my higher power. The change happens in my thoughts and actions and in my beliefs with faith and surrender. And I can't have recovery without faith and surrender. And I need a reminder that I ask myself all the time, is God here to serve me or am I here to serve God? My recovery is to serve God and other people. And just like any other relationship with a loved one, my husband, my children, the more attention I give to God, the better our relationship gets. So same thing with my relationship with my, you know, with my husband and kids and sponsees. You know, I really need to focus on my higher power and on God on a daily basis. And that's why it's so important, I think, for me, every morning when I get up on page 86 through 88, you know, I think about the 24 hours ahead and I ask God to direct my thinking. It's the first thing that I do when I get up in the morning is I focus on God and I ask God, you know, okay, God, what do you have me be? What do you have me do? And please divorce me from those self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Those things, those barriers that this paragraph talks about. So, you know, it's just a beautiful gift to be able to have God in my life today and to know that, you know, regardless of the outside circumstances, all is well. As long as I'm abstinent and working these steps, all is well. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Irene B., followed by Ginger C. Good morning, Irene. Can't hear you, Irene. Press star one. One more time. Star one, Irene. All right, Irene's having trouble. We'll go to Ginger C, and I'll come back to Irene. Ginger, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me, Mo?
I can. Thank you, Ginger.
Oh, great. Thank you, and thank you for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. And I looked up conscious, and it's aware of and responding to one's surroundings, awake. And so this is it. You know, this is where this book was written, and it's for me to tap in and to find some power, because without power, I will absolutely be eating the food again. And it's miraculous. I just got busy, and I got better. And the beginning began, this conscious connection, because I was without the food and I wasn't white knuckled. It wasn't painful. It wasn't difficult. It was actually pretty easy, because for the first time too, I saw the reality of entire abstinence, really getting clean and clear with that food and saying goodbye to it. And I think that it's just so vital, that message of entire abstinence, because God, I just wanted to have my cake and eat it too in OA, and I was going to figure out a way, let me tell you. And I thought for sure sugar-free was my answer. But thank goodness we clear out, and then we do this work, and thank goodness it's not far to find. It's down deep within each and every one of us. And these clear-cut directions get you there. You get busy, and God gets working in a way that God's been wanting to for your whole life. And then you get to get out of this prison of food, this nightmare that's killing you that you never think will end, and this whole new world unfolds. And I just have to say, you know, what I'm doing is just recover, 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 and I leave the outcome and the results up to higher power. But because of this message that I share today as a recovered member, you know, my husband's got day four with the food being down. He watched his wife almost die, and then he saw this new person emerge, and he's still blown away. And the hope to give to somebody within your own house, your own family member, oh my God, no greater joy. So we get busy, we get better, and we have this conscious contact. But my job is every day to stay close and connect, perform his work well. Page 71 tells me my job, or at page 77, you know, is to be of maximum usefulness. So where is God? Where is that connection? How am I growing with God? How am I pressing into this power? And one of the most beautiful ways I have found is through my meditation practice, getting quiet, taking that time. And it's not easy because my mind always spins. A mind is supposed to think. But it is so important because God usually speaks to me in whispers. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Is Irene B. back on the line?
Can I be heard now?
Now you can. There you go,
oh,
Irene.
Thank
Thanks for keep
thank
trying.
You so Yes, I have to hang up and redial because the line kept telling me you're unmuted, but you couldn't hear me.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your service and your patience. I am Irene B., a very greatly recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I love all the shares that I've been hearing. I was on the earlier meetings today, and I'm just a little overwhelmed with the beautiful wealth of information. And I'm just going to share that for me, my spiritual experience was something that I deeply, deeply desired, and I wanted to make it happen. And I couldn't make it happen. So my sponsor kept telling me, oh, when you get to step five, then it'll happen, or when you get to step seven, it'll happen. And it just, it's like, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. So I just kept going, and I kept pushing forward because I don't know why, because I have to work this program if I want to get over my illness. And things happen when they happen. I cannot control it. I cannot force it. All I can do is pursue it. And that I did. And I'm going to say something about being abstinent and having a spiritual experience. I was bulimic or compulsive overeater since age six. And by the time I got to therapy, my first inpatient program, they said that for me to be able to get in touch with my feelings, I needed to put down the food, because until I put down the food, I was going to continue to numb myself. And I had become the world's most proficient number. It seems like God ever created. I did a great job of numbing myself. So I was completely out of touch, and as long as I was in the food, they told me I wasn't going to be able to get in touch with my feelings. By the same token, as long as I'm in the food, I'm not going to have that spiritual experience because I'm numbing myself. I'm blocking myself from my spiritual life. But I will say this, even though I wasn't in touch with myself, and even though I was bulimic all of my adult life, I kept trying. And just because I was not able to be abstinent doesn't mean that I give up on myself and throw in the towel and say, I can't do it, that's it, I quit. I would rather see somebody work the 12-step program eating but still working it, and doing it over and over and over again until something happens and they're able to put the food down, and
right,
until something happens and God works his magic, because it works. If it worked for me, it can work for anybody. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene. Glad you were able to get back on the line. Now we have Beatrice O, followed by Cindy D. Good morning, Beatrice.
Good morning, Mo. This is Beatrice recovering from Northern California. I love this paragraph, and it says, you know, we were overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God. I remember when I was in a severe relapse, and I had been in OA for about 12 years, and I thought I had worked steps. I divorced my alcoholic husband. I had made some major changes, and I was in the food again. And I cried out to God and said, you know what, man? This is not working for me, dude. Where are you? I've done everything that I needed to do in this program, and I'm back in the food. You know, I'm done with you, and I'm done with believing, and about a week and a half later, I was in a treatment center for food addiction. So sometimes if you're in the food, and you're feeling desperate, like the big book in the 12 talk about that desperation, that gift of desperation, and you can't stop eating. That's kind of, that's like a day of reckoning. And that could, you know, that was a spiritual experience for me, that I was willing to put down the food because I realized that, you know, I was killing myself. You know, it's not my job to get God to align with my will. Me aligning my will with God and surrendering. You know, I don't know. I was reading, and, you know, if I believe in God, if there's a God, there is evil for me. I believe in the spiritual world, there's both. And I believe that this disease is roaming around to seek, kill, and destroy my family, to kill me with addiction, and destroy me. I have to decide to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And the last thing I want to say is, my food addiction, whether I'm in the food or not,
time
doesn't separate me from the love of God. I don't feel it. I may not feel it while I'm in the food, but God is always with me, and I can call on Him at any time. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Cindy D., followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Mo, for your service. And this is Cindy D., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. And, you know, I was thinking about that italicized sentence before this paragraph, and that sentence really, you know, hit me hard when I first came into program, because I was one that really questioned whether there was a God. And so to ask myself, who am I? You know, it really reminded me that I was playing God myself. And I love just seeing it again, because it just continues to remind me that my will is very strong and I have to get out of my own way. And, you know, I love this first sentence about tumbling out of bed to his knees. And, you know, I was so resistant, and some days still am so resistant to getting on my knees. But when I do, it's humbling, and it really does help me feel more connected to my higher power, that when I get on my knees, I feel like I'm letting down my will. And then I like how, you know, stood in the presence. And that to me means strength, and that means being filled with the power of God. And I was talking to a fellow yesterday about some stuff that I'm going through, and she said, you have to take your power back. And I kept saying, well, how do you do that? And what came to me this morning listening to chairs was, the only way I take my power back is to bring in the power of God. And I've come to know that, you know, my higher power is unique to me. He's special to me. He's fierce. You know, he's ruthless against evil. He's powerful in every way. There's no equal, you know, no rival, and no competition for my God. He's so strong. And I just need to remember that every day, and every day take his hand. And, you know, right now I'm working another program, and I have all these really old, deep feelings coming up. And they're so painful and so uncomfortable. And my disease comes in and says, you know, you can feel better. And what I have to do is turn to my higher power immediately and then start reaching out and do service and reach out to other fellows and talk about it. And I'm just so grateful that I know to do that today, and that I am grateful for these feelings, even though I don't like them, even though they're very painful. They take me to sorrow some days and tears. I'm grateful, though, because I can only heal if that stuff comes out. And so I know I'm still on my path of further healing, and I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for these calls and this, that we study this big book this way, and that it helps me go deeper into my understanding of program and of my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Mo. Hope everybody has a blessed day.
Thank you, Cindy D. And before we go to Janice PM, I want to remind everybody where we are. We're on page 56. We agnostics, the fourth paragraph down. This man recounts that he tumbled, and it ends with lived in conscious companionship with his creator, and I'll take names after Janice. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, Mel H., and everyone. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. I'm glad you reiterated where we were, because I was like on, I don't know how to count paragraphs. But anyway, thank you. He recounts, you know, he's telling us this is his story. And he's now, this is in hindsight, he's telling his story of what happened to him. Now, this is a sudden experience that Fitzmaurice had. It's his experience. Now, it doesn't mean if you don't have this experience in step two, you know, you can't go on. Because certainly I didn't have this experience. But it's telling me that perhaps he did. I don't know. But the thing is, he had it very sudden, which means it's called his experience. Mine was over a long period of time because I was so rebellious. I didn't open my mind. I had so much pride that I thought that I could do it. I said I was powerless, but I said it, but it didn't go from my head to my heart. Because if I kept picking up, then I wasn't powerless. Because I certainly know I was powerless over rat poison. I wouldn't be picking that up every day because I knew it wasn't, you know. But you see, for me, it was much harder for me, and I imagine everybody, a lot of people, because those blocks, you know, my sanity, my thinking was certainly that, you know what, I can do it because I had some success, et cetera, et cetera. But, of course, good old Fitz, he had this experience right away because he let go of his pride. He let go of what his he could do himself because he couldn't do it himself. So, and that's when it all started. He felt it. You know, a lot of us know of God or the whole higher power like I did, but I didn't feel him. I was still feeling my own pride, my own importance, my own ability to have that power. And, of course, in step two, I didn't. But step two taught me this is the beginning. You know you're powerless, Janice, like Fitz was. Now you're willing to believe, doesn't say you have to believe right away. If you have that little open mind and be willing to believe and that you really need a power better than you, Janice, with your arrogance, it will come. It will come. So it will come through action, not just thinking. It will come through action. And that's how it starts. And because I have a spiritual problem and a physical problem. And I was always interested in the physical recovery. And I got that. But, of course, I was still miserable. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Janice. All right, I'll now open the lines up for more people who'd like to share.
Ann B., Sherry K. B.,
and Mary K. B., who was after Sherry?
Leia S.
Bob.
Heather R.
Who was that? R.?
Heather R.
Dion R.
Dion R.
Heather R.
Laura R.
Heather R. Dion R. Heather R. And one more.
Laura
R.
One more time.
Laura R.
Laura R. L-A-U.
Okay.
All right, we got three R's here. Ann B., Sherry K. B., Leia S., Dion R., Heather R., Laura R. I hope we get to all of you. We'll do our best. Ann B., you're up, followed by Sherry K.B.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, I don't, but I have been abstinent for almost 15 years. In my head, there's a committee, and one of the voices in the committee is a mystic. I think that's because my mom was a kind of mystic, and one of the voices is a scientist, because I think my dad was a scientist. And that mystic voice absolutely and totally believes that that power that comes in into my head and takes away the cravings is an external God. And it's totally into that concept. And the scientist voice believes that this is actually an interesting neurological phenomenon, that somehow by doing the prayer and meditation, I'm accessing my subconscious in a way that I can't do just by thinking with my conscious brain. And my scientist looks at diagrams of research, neurological research of the brain, to find justifications of what parts of the brain cause cravings and why they're not accessible by the conscious mind. But my scientist, you know, believes in evidence, experimental evidence, and believes that this does work, right? Because after all, I've experienced it. I've experienced that peace that comes in and removes the cravings. And it's not by my saying I'm not going to eat. It's because this power comes in. And so my scientist says, okay, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether this is an external God or whether this is just an interesting neurological phenomenon that prayer and meditation do change the way the subconscious brain works. And because it works. So my scientist says, okay, I'm just going to crawl into a closet here, and to the mystic, you just do your thing because I know it works. And this business of, you know, it's one thing, I normally prefer the big book to the OA 12 and 12. I really feel that a lot of the program is presented much more clearly in the big book than in the OA 12 and 12. But there is one thing in the OA 12 and 12 which I've really enjoyed, which is it says we put aside theological arguments. Is there an external God? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Why is there evil in the world if there's a loving God? I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is I'm trying to stop eating. So I'm using prayer and meditation, using my higher power. Okay, I'll just finish up. And that works. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. Sherry K.B., followed by Leah S. Sherry?
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line and Team Wednesday. Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Team Tuesday.
Wednesday.
And all the newcomers and everybody hanging out. This is such a beautiful paragraph. I'll just jump right in. I know that when I did my fifth step, I started feeling more of God around me. And the more I started doing the rest of the steps, the more I felt, the more I got unblocked, the more I felt connected to my higher power. And then I always heard about enlarging my spiritual life. But I had to let go of certain things, like all forms of self. And to me, the barriers are all forms of self that were built through the years, were swept away when I did the step work. And, you know, all the forms of self to me is the finite self, which means limited, and God is infinite, which means limitless. And so, you know, God helped me sweep away the compulsive overeating, the resentments, the fears, the restless, irritable discontent, the fear, doubt, and insecurity. Not that they don't come back, but they don't stay for very long because of that connection with a higher power of my understanding. And also the beauty of that consciousness on a daily basis, like being aware and feeling personally feeling that higher power working in my life, watching it work through others, you know, just being aware of my thoughts and observations around my thinking, because what I do know is that since I've tapped into this unsuspected inner resource inside of me, which is my higher power, things change. Things just look different. They feel different. I do things during the day that help me stay connected to this higher power. And it is such a beautiful thing. And it is, you know, all individual for each one of us. And it just, you know, continues to blossom and grow. And what I notice is that my old behaviors, yes, they do still come up, but they don't stay there very long. And I ask God to help me. And things are just so different. Having that conscious contact, that companionship. There's all sorts of ways that I put things on my phone that go off throughout the day just to remind me, are you checking in with your higher power? Are you plugged in with your higher power? Are you turning this over to your higher power? When I get in the bondage itself, you know, it isn't pretty and it doesn't feel good anymore. Just like when I was in the food, doesn't feel good anymore. And so, and God keeps me absent, happily and contently and neutral around the food. I could never do that. I don't know about you, but I could not. And I'm just so grateful for God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Leah S., followed by Dion R. Leah? Can't hear you, Leah. Star 1, Leah?
Oh, my goodness, I was talking away. Thank you. Oh, this is not me. I don't have a speakerphone. I'm sorry.
Is somebody
okay.
Unmuted? Please all mute. Okay, thank you, Leah.
Thank you. So I was talking away. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and very grateful in Brooklyn. So just want to say one thing, you know. When I was a little kid and I went to the beach and the wave went over me, I thought I was going to die. I was going to die. And I came out of that pool and I was so grateful. And I said, the next day I'm going to get swimming lessons and I'm not going to die through a wave because I don't know how to swim. Anyway, and when I became overweight, I said, I'm going to the Weight Watchers and I'm going to get this weight off, and I'm going to look pretty, I'm going to be attractive, I'm going to be nice, everybody's just going to want just Leah, you know. What is this higher power? When did it ever occur to me? You know what? There were instances in my life where I did have surgery, one particular one, and I thought I was never going to wake up, and I woke up, and I'm a functioning human being. And not only am I a functioning human being, I became who Leah was, agnostic, and I didn't have such good character traits, you know, that would want people. And I forgot. And then I came into Overeaters, and I came into particularly these rooms, and I heard the word God, and I said, why was I avoiding all that? It was my ego. And I started learning about myself. And I started understanding. You don't need too much. You really don't need. You need that humility and that surrender. You know what? Until now, I've been doing whatever I've been doing. And I really regret that. I regret that I did that. I have remorse about that. But God, He's powerful, and He can change whatever He can. I just need to connect with that and to voice that and to validate that I do want to become better. That's all. I don't want to overeat. I don't want to hurt my body. I don't want to hurt Leah, and I definitely don't want to hurt those I really love. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. And we have about 6 minutes left and 3 shares. So if you each take 2 minutes, we can get you all in. I can. Dion R., followed by Heather R.
Yes. Yes, hi, this is Deanna R. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Deanna R. recovered compulsive overeating and very grateful today. But in 2 minutes, let me see. What stuck out to me is while pondering the answer, I know this is not the, you know, pondering, that part right there, a great thought came. He cried out, "Who are you to say there's no God?" Okay, that would knock me out of a bed. It did. I had a sort of a similar experience. But the thing is, I got sick and tired of fighting and trying to prove he didn't exist. And the desperation that they call it the food, H-E-L-L and all those words, is what brought me to my knees. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe they're right. You know, not the people in program, because I didn't, it was the you know, maybe people, religious people were right. Maybe there is a God. Maybe. And the key is that when I surrendered and I turned toward him, it was like he turned toward me. You know, that conviction, you know. And I used to say, I ain't telling nobody else that thought, you know. And I had a dream. I was in here, me and my dreams, my vivid dreams. I had a dream because I asked. I said, God, if you're real, and I know you did this for me in another 12 steps, am I a compulsive overeater? When I kid you not, I woke up the next morning, I was in a cloud. And somebody was whispering in my ear, you are a compulsive overeater. So every time I see that thought, I would say, who are you to say there's no God? The conviction was there. And I told people in the room, and it was like, wow, that was a spiritual experience. But the thing is, it let me know that I couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do it alone with another 12-step program. I needed help. And this is my disease. It was my disease from childhood. First, probably, I don't know, but I'm just saying, the great thought, yes. Any way I ask God for clarity, he will give it to me. And not always a great thought or a dream, but sometimes just from being a part of a meeting, part of the solution, like many people said, I put one foot in front of the other,
time.
And the miracle happens. With that, I'll pass.
Thank God, you, Dion R. Heather R., followed by Laura R. 2 minutes, Heather.
All right, I'll be quick. This is Heather R., recovering in New York. I really like the imagery in this paragraph talking about, I mean, he first talks about how he tumbled out of bed onto his knees and that physical act of surrendering. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that almost every single sponsor I've had has told me to get down on your knees in the morning when you get up and surrender and get down on your knees before you go to bed and be grateful. It's an action, and the action follows the emotional and mental surrender. And then he follows up here by saying he stood in the presence of infinite power and love. So by getting down on our knees, we are able to stand in life and against our disease. And I thought that was really meaningful because it is. It's we surrender ourselves, and we regain power. You know, by being broken down, we are lifted up. By, you know, dying, we truly live. You know, according to the St. Francis prayer. So that's what really stood out to me. And I thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping it short. I appreciate that. Laura R., you got 2 minutes.
Thanks, Mo. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. Oh, my goodness. I'm just kind of looking at this entire page, page 50, is, you know, I'm sorry, where are we, page 52? Thank you, 56. Anyway, you know, business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide, you know, and then confined. And then, you know, the thought comes, is it possible that all religious people I know are wrong? So, you know, I just look at the moments before I walked into Overeaters Anonymous, like all I was doing was eating. That was it. Like, and seeking, but I was in the food. And finally, I got crushed by my self-imposed crisis, just crushed. And the thought came, you know, is if AA works for, you know, alcoholics, couldn't OA work for me? It has to. And at that moment, you know, God came to me, because before that, actually, the thought was, if I don't get a grip on this, or if something doesn't happen, I'm going to die. because if I balloon up, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I was holding on so tight and it was so uncomfortable. I couldn't even handle it. But then God came to me in that moment of desperation. That was nothing I did of my own. The food kicked my butt, you know, and then God came to me and said, go to OA. And then it talks about how a fellow came to this person. And in the moment of desperation, when I was in an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, a fellow came to me, directed me to Vision and said, I can, you know, and gave me her phone number. And I was willing. Then I became willing. So God picked me up, brought me to an OA meeting. And then the fellow came to me, reached out, one overeater to another, reaching out her hand. And then I was still in the food. I met up with her and she said, I am neutral. And in that moment, I said, okay, I want what you have. And I was still in the food. And she said, this is what you need to do. Put it all down. I put it down. And then that's when the fire got under my ass. And I started, excuse my language, the fire got under my butt. And I started running in this program. So with that, I'll pass things.
Thank you. Thank you all for abiding by the time limit so we could get everybody in. Thanks for all the shares and all those who gave service today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Robin DZ to read a vision for you. Press star one, Robin. Can't hear you yet. Robin? Is Leslie
This
there?
Is Robin. Can I be heard?
There you are. Okay.
Okay,
yep.
I'm sorry about that. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.